Welcome back into the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We're live from the Allo Communications Studios. It's where we take a look at the top stories trending nationally. And two kind of rough stories, sad stories right off the bat. But this Grant Wall situation, soccer journalist, his body, his possessions were sent to the United States today, this morning, after his death last week while covering the World Cup in Qatar. A senior State Department official did say, you guys probably read stuff over the weekend about, you know, what happened. And well, he'd been talking about he had some respiratory issues or something like that, maybe throughout the week, wasn't feeling that great, and then just collapsed. Such a sad deal, man. I mean, 49 years old, big-time American journalist who really was helping increase the popularity of soccer. It's just a really sad situation. He had complained of respiratory problems earlier in the week. He'd been treated for a possible case of bronchitis, but then he fell back in his seat in a section of the stadium reserved for journalists during extra time of the game, and reporters adjacent to him were calling for assistance. Just a really sad, sad situation. Waiting for, I guess, more information to come out here, but kind of obviously sad, devastating for family and friends and people involved with him. But also just kind of, I think right off the bat, everyone was confused. This guy just collapsed. He just right there in the stadium.
Yeah, a lot of confusion and, you know, some controversy.
Yeah.
Buy into that if you want. But just losing a person like that and, you know, doing something he loved.
Yeah.
Being at a live sporting event like the World Cup, that's something, you know, once in a lifetime for a lot of people, and it's just really unfortunate.
Yeah, it really is. Another thing going on today, too, we're monitoring this one. Mississippi State head coach Mike Leach hospitalized in a critical condition right now. The university said in a statement this morning, you know, just talking about his situation, he suffered what was called Sunday a personal health issue that occurred at home. I mean, just Mike Leach, man.
Read a report this morning that it was a heart attack in his home.
Any news on
nothing from their update?
Could he come out of this, or is it saying critical condition?
A tweet last night that was saying, you know, Leach is, you know, he needs a miracle and just prayers up for Mike Leach.
Man, Mike Leach, man. Great coach, obviously, but such an entertaining part of college football, college sports in general. So hoping that guy's going to pull through. The Heisman stuff, Caleb Williams wins the Heisman for USC. Just kind of, you know, I did like what he had to say. Like, hey, I won the Heisman, but all you guys down there playing in the playoffs. So, you know, Caleb Williams, another quarterback. Not many non-quarterbacks have won this thing over the years. I think Devonta Smith, wide receiver, a couple years ago. Derrick Henry,
Mark Ingram
as running backs. You want to go all the way back to when Charles Woodson won it as a cornerback / special teams guy. But it's pretty much dominated by quarterback.
I see a lot of controversy with this, and NFL MVP as well. It's just, whoever is the quarterback for the best team gets the best player award, and I think it's up for debate. You know, you could say Caleb Williams was the best quarterback in college football, but name a bunch of receivers, running backs, defensive players that don't get any credit. It's frustrating, I can imagine.
Yeah, well, Caleb Williams gets it done. Deion Sanders, it's just crazy, man. 4-star running back Dylan Edwards, who was committed to Notre Dame, has pulled that commitment. Now he's committed to Colorado. I love commitment. He pulled the commitment. It's not really a commitment. One of the fastest players in the country. That's a big-time get. And I think we're just going to keep seeing more of this. I saw somewhere, Angel, that Sanders so far with Colorado, they're ranked 61st right now in recruiting and transfer portal, whatever, their off-season acquisitions. I think that number's only going to skyrocket. It's just the beginning. And he's out on the field, Folsom, you know, like with fancy cars out there taking pictures of new recruits and new transfers. People think, the optics of that don't look great. Actually, they do. dude, you tell me you're a four-star recruit and you don't want to go take pictures with Deion Sanders in front of his awesome cars in the middle of a football field.
I saw a tweet this morning that was from his son, his oldest son, Deion Jr., saying that Ralphie will have a new look next year, a gold chain with lots of diamonds.
And we joked about that. Is that... Are they really going to try to put that on this?
I imagine they are going to try to find a massive chain for this buffalo.
Oh, wow.
Because, I mean, you just have to at this point.
We joked about it, but now it's like they're actually going to do it. It's what it's about, man. I mean, college football, you're selling a brand. And if the brand is all you as the head coach and your, you know, style and bling and ways you can connect to players, then yeah, it's a good thing. The people that have a problem with this don't understand how it works. What are stud athletes doing in high school besides playing sports? They're watching sports. They're playing video games. They like all that stuff. They like all the stuff that surrounds the games that they follow, the talkers, the personalities. It's not even this day and age. We all liked that, man. If Deion Sanders would have went right out of the NFL straight into college coaching back in the day, we'd all be looking at guys my age doing the same thing, jumping on board, because he's Deion freaking Sanders. So that's it. I mean, Ed Lamb here at UNC is going to have a different approach. I'm not saying that's wrong. That's his approach for the area that makes sense. But Deion Sanders for the Pac-12, for CU, what he's doing makes sense. I can't really speak on the bling for Ralphie. That's a little weird. Is Ralphie going to be cool with that?
I don't know. I saw this last night in regards to Ed Lamb and his coaching staff as he starts to put this together.
Max ain't coming back, is he?
I don't believe so.
No, I don't think so.
According to Adam Rittenberg, UNC is set to hire Southern Utah offensive coordinator Blair Peterson, BYU defensive ends coach Preston Hadley, and BYU assistant Justin Walterscheid as special teams coordinator. He's got a new OC.
Building staff. Building the staff. So, no, well, Max removed all the stuff from Twitter.
Yeah. I just checked the website. He's still there, but I imagine.
I gotta go change that.
Blair Peterson will be taking over that spot.
Yeah, I guess once it's officially official or whatever. Does anybody stay? Like, Eddie Gonzalez is a name I keep hearing.
I think Eddie could stay. I think the players really
played
like
2 years ago, right?
Yep.
So, he might be staying. Scott Darnell's probably not staying. That's just another name that I thought was interesting as far as in the mix for the head coaching spot. But you just can't do that. It's hard to do that, and I don't even know if Scott would want that.
Heard Ed Lamb in his press conference say, you know, guys that do stay will be determined if they fit with all the guys that he's bringing in.
And he's like, you know, but if you read between the lines, it's like, hey, I mean, they're all in their best behavior right now.
Right.
But it's... It doesn't happen very often that you keep
a lot of guys.
If you're
trying to get that bad taste out of your mouth, it's best to just get all of it out.
If there's a stud position coach that really was good and there was a certain position on this team that was really good and the players really loved him and stuff like that, then maybe. But as far as coordinators go, typically you're going to see him bring his own guys in. You know, there might be a guy like an Eddie Gonzalez that's a positions coach and he could make sense going forward, but... Yeah, he's assembling. He is assembling his staff. Do you have any issue with an NBA team or a basketball team or any team for that matter? They're up big. The game's decided. They get the last possession. They go ahead and go up for a crazy-looking dunk or something like that. You have issues with that?
Is this a Zion thing?
Yeah, it's a Zion thing.
No.
Well, and I liked what Zion said.
I saw this and I'm like, why are we getting upset about this? This guy hasn't been like actively playing in the NBA for all that long.
Yeah.
He was out most of last year with health or injuries or whatever. And didn't we all love him because he had the big stylized dunks and all that stuff?
I mean, they beat the Suns, and I liked his response. He's like, that's the team that sent my team home last year, and yeah. I haven't played, and I'm trying to just soak up every moment I got. I've never had an issue with it, you know, pouring it on, last possession. There's no time on the clock, essentially. All you got to do is just walk it out. Is 2 points going to kill you? They were at home, weren't they?
Yeah,
you're in front of your home crowd?
Yeah.
Go up and give him a little juice, man. He goes up with the windmill dunk, 360 windmill dunk.
Play to the whistle or the buzzer, you know?
Yeah, we always hear that. And then when
you don't, like, you know, showboat about it, but...
Yeah, he kind of did. 360 windmill dunk.
It's the NBA. It's a little different. If you get an open lane, I'm a 360 dunk. Yes.
I mean, he did. He was wide open. What's he supposed to say? I have no issue with that.
Like, football, it's a little different. If you're down by, 14 and they get the ball back with a minute or two and they just
instead
throw
of
it
kneeling,
down the field,
they're still going. Yeah.
That's different. But you got to stop them.
Basketball, I always see basketball, like, defenders will keep playing defense on it sometimes. They'll keep playing, poking their hands at him and stuff, waiting for him to dribble it out.
Well, you don't want to get a take foul.
Yeah.
Because that's a new thing.
That's a new thing. Stupid. Still don't really understand that.
Well, I mean, it slows the game down if he's obviously got a fast break.
Yep.
There's no one else down there. Nah, I'm just going to trip him up.
Yep. Don't understand why that's the weirdest change they made this offseason in the NBA. No issues with that either. 17 minutes after the hour, Jerry Schimmel coming up next. The UNC Bears got a nice W on the road. They're now at 5-5, 2-3 away on the road. They took down Cal State Northridge Matadors, but Cal State, talked to Steve Smiley this morning, actually, and it's a team that fouls a lot. They like to send teams to the free throw line. The analytics to them show that send these kids to the free throw line, they might miss a lot of free throws, and there we go. But they couldn't foul at the end. The Bears have the final possession, and they don't get the—I think it was 68-63, five-point game with, 15 seconds left. Now, the odds are Bears are going to win this thing, but you don't wait. You don't foul until, 4 seconds left? That was so bizarre.
Felt like the last, 5 minutes was just
they're fouling.
Dalen and Matt at the free throw
line. Yeah, the last 5 minutes, they're fouling like crazy, and then there's one more possession left with, 18 seconds left. And you're not, you can't get to him to foul? Crazy. Jerry Schimmel coming up next, the voice of the UNC Bears. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFK.
Sunday and Monday night football are on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is your UNC Bears head men's basketball coach, Steve Smiley, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA. Go Bears.
Steve Smiley's Bears took down Cal State Northridge Matadors over the weekend, 70-63. On to talk to us about that game. Jerry Schimmel, the voice of the Bears. Now, Jerry, Cal State was fouling like crazy. It seemed like the Bears were at the free throw line the last 7 minutes of the game, but they couldn't get a foul in late. That was the kind of like one of the more bizarre sequences. I'm hearing you broadcast the game, and then no foul, no foul, no foul, no foul, no foul, and then 4 seconds left. Oh, let's get the foul in.
I think there were a couple things that happened. Number one, I think the Bears did a good job of keeping the ball away from the people who wanted to foul. And secondly, I think there was, Brady, some confusion on the part of Northridge as to whether they were supposed to foul or not. I think there were a couple of guys who were thinking, it's a 7-point game with 10 seconds left. Why are we fouling? And then there's a couple of other guys that were just scrambling around trying to foul somebody. So some confusion, but a great job by the Bears to keep that ball. Kind of the old keep-away game, You can't let the defender touch the ball, and that's what the Bears did so well down the stretch.
Jerry, when this team, when it gets to a free-throw situation, the UNC Bears, if it's close and they're the ones getting sent to the line, there's a good chance that they're going to finish that thing out. Dalen Kuntz was 7 of 10, Matt Johnson 8 of 9. And those two dudes, if you're going to shoot free throws, having those guys get to the line for you, man, you're going to be able to do something big.
I'm so with you. And I think you could probably put, although he's not really been in that situation much, Dalton Connect in that group as well. I think he's a clutch guy down the stretch with free throws. His free throw percentage is way up from last year. But Matt Johnson's missed twice this whole year.
Wow.
I think he's something like 22 out of 24 or some crazy number like that. And Dalen Kuntz is interesting, too, because in a crucial spot in that game down the stretch, he missed two free throws in a row. And I'm thinking, all right, those are his two misses for the next three games, because he never misses in those situations. And what's he do? He comes back and makes the next four. So, yeah, you're right. It's Well, they're led by those three guys, especially that backcourt, and they're so good. They're so poised, so good in the clutch. They were that way last year when I was doing games, Brady, and we've seen it early this season as well.
Jerry Schimmel, the voice of the UNC Bears. The Bears get the dub, and now 5-5 overall. They got the Buffs coming up this weekend. My goodness, that'll be interesting. But back to that game a little bit more. You know, Daylon, as you mentioned, had a couple of misses there. Doesn't do that very often at the free throw line. But ended with 19 points, Matt Johnson with 18, but Dalton Connect, 16 points, but added in 14 rebounds. And you and I talked about that last week a lot, Jerry, was, you know, if you want to start improving upon your rebounding numbers, you're going to need your guards to step in a little bit more and add to that where they can start picking up on the rebounding side. And that's what Dalton did.
Exactly right, and I think you give him a lot of credit, too, because, and the coaches have helped this way, Brady, but he knew coming into this season, he and I talked about it on the coaches' show last week, he knew that they were missing some big men from last year. Gorjon Gooch is an excellent rebounder, and I think they really were going to miss him, and Dalton's like, I know I got to pick up some of that slack. I can't just let the big guys rebound. I got to get there and do it. And he's very capable. He's you know, 6'7", 6'8". He can jump very well. He's a very good natural rebounder. So give him credit for getting more aggressive on the boards. But, you know, in that game, he had 11, I think, in the first half and then ended up with 5 in the second half, but kept rebounding. He kept missing shots, but he kept getting the boards, and that was really crucial for this team. He had, you know, Theo Hughes have a career-high 10 rebounds. So they've emphasized rebounding because they were so badly out-rebounded at the beginning of the season. Now it looks like, Brady, they're a pretty good rebounding team. At least they have been the last three games.
Well, that's got to go back to coaching, right, Jerry? I mean, Smiley recognized an issue, and rather than just saying, you know, we'll just out-shoot teams, we don't need to worry about some of the other things. And no, they've made that a point of emphasis. They played really good defense against Northridge, but then out-rebounded them 43-37, two games in a row where the discrepancy on rebounds has definitely shifted toward the UNC Bears.
Yep, no question. And one of those games, of course, was CSU. That's a good, solid team. So, yeah, I think you give the coaching staff a lot of credit that way. I know one thing Steve did, among many other things, I think he makes great adjustments, not just in a game, but from game to game. But he sits a guy down like Theo Hughes and says, Theo, you do not have to score. You're not out there to score. You're not a scorer. You know that. We know that. But you can be a very good rebounder. You're big. You're 7 foot and you're 275 pounds. Get in there and move around a little bit and get aggressive on the boards. And what's happened? Theo has done exactly that. So I guess it's one thing to tell a player he needs to do something, another for that player to take it to heart and go out and execute it. But those two things are happening with this team. And I think you're right, Brady. I think you give the coaching staff a lot of credit for that.
Jerry, that team was pretty salty. I know the record doesn't show it, but they've had a crazy non-conference schedule. I mean, you know, close one to Boise State, a fairly close one to Fresno State. So they're playing some tough teams, too. So a lot of times you can't just look at the record to determine if a team's worth it or not. And that was supposed to be a good game, and for the most part it was.
Yeah, and I'm with you. And I think you throw out records from previous years. You know, the last couple of years, they've won, I think, 6 and then 7 games or something crazy like that. They've been really down. But with the transfer portal, you can improve really quickly. And that's what that team has done. It's a better team than it has been the last 2 years. They're very well coached. I mean, their coach is big time. He's coached at Stanford and some other big schools and had a lot of success. So I know they're well coached. There's a lot of talent there. Some new faces that were evident, like Steve said they would be. Physical team, kind of slow the pace down. But the Bears were up for that challenge. So, yeah, I think you make a good point. Cal State Northridge, just the name itself, is probably not going to strike fear in anybody. But they're a pretty good, talented team. And I think they're going to do some damage in their league this year.
Jerry Schimmel joining us, the voice of the UNC Bears. Well, a team's name that might strike some fear into their opponents, especially right now, is the Colorado Buffaloes. They've had monster wins. They destroyed Colorado State last week. They beat Tennessee. They destroyed Texas A&M, too. They've also lost some weird games. But now they have the power of Deion Sanders behind them, even though it's football and basketball. But I didn't think there was any way CSU was going to be able to win that game against CU, especially when you knew prime time was going to be there at some point. And he did show up, and the place went nuts.
Yeah, you know what? And we probably, you and I, say that tongue-in-cheek, but that's what the guy does. He brings energy, doesn't he?
Yeah.
He brings energy everywhere he goes, whether it's a football stadium or a basketball arena. And I think people get fired up about that. And hopefully that continues. I know some of that sort of honeymoon will wear off a little bit, and I think especially after he loses a game or two, there might not be that energy. But you're right, he brings it to a crowd at a basketball game, and I'm with you. I think the crowd was fired up because it was CSU, but probably more fired up because Coach Prime was in the building. So, yeah, and I think, you know, bottom line is CU's talented. They're a really talented team, Brady, and I don't know, you're right. They had some weird losses. I think they lost to Mississippi Valley, I don't know, it's lost to somebody early on that they should never, they were favored by 15 and got beat. So, but a very talented team. They're young. They're very well coached, I believe. So this will be a real tall task on Sunday.
Yeah, well, so how you feeling about this one now, Jerry? UNC, you know, it was kind of back and forth, but then you beat Colorado State, you know, on their turf, a game that the Rams, you know, I don't know if they overlooked, but they really, I think they really wanted to win that game. And the Bears kept battling back, especially in that second half. They win that, got a lot of confidence. And then knowing that CU can be a bit inconsistent, how do you like UNC's chances this weekend?
Well, first of all, that game at CSU for UNC, the only reason they won was because you were doing color.
That's what I was told.
That is it. Number one factor right there. You know, I think there's some to that. You do one game, and it's one of the biggest wins in school history. I mean, what's up with that, Brady?
You know, Jerry, again, I'm like Spider-Man. With great great power comes great responsibility now, and so I know I have that. It's out there. So I tell you what, if the Bears start struggling at any point, just give me a buzz. I'll jump on there. I'll do what I can, and we'll get them a W with me on there, okay?
All right. Okay. I call that a secret weapon. I don't know what anybody else calls it. I call it a secret weapon. Anyway, Brady, to answer your question, you know, I think it'll be really difficult to pull an upset like for UNC like they did at CSU. But I do think they'll play hard. They won't be intimidated. They'll play, I think, a game maybe like they played against New Mexico, where they're in a ball game and maybe get worn out by a home crowd and a home team at the end. But I think they'll fare well. I think they'll have a good showing for themselves, and I think it'll be a lot of fun on Sunday afternoon.
Yeah, two non-conference games left, CU and Air Force, both interesting games for the University of Northern Colorado. But Jerry, so far, what, 10 games in, you know, conference schedule is right around the corner. How are you feeling about this team? They were picked to finish second, so about where they were last year. Do you like their chances even more based on what you've seen so far to get into the big dance?
You know what, I'm sure I told you this on the air a couple weeks ago when I was on, but I wasn't all that confident about this team after the first couple weeks, and especially after that CCU loss at home. I'm thinking they got some serious deficiencies. They can't rebound, and they can't get an offensive board, and they can't play deep, and all these things went through my head. And then after that, they played that Lobo Classic, played very well, and played a great game against CSU. It looks like a different team to me. So I think my thoughts are about the same as when the season began. And after the season began and played it and saw this team play a few games, I thought maybe they're not as good as I thought they were. Now I do. I think they're that number two seed right now. They're that second best team behind Montana State right now in the conference, and would have as good a shot, the way I look at it right now before conference play starts, as good a shot as anybody to get to that big dance again. So I'm feeling good about this team, a lot better than I did a couple weeks ago for sure.
Well, and Jerry, don't you think, because, I mean, honestly, with Dalen Kuntz and Matt Johnson and Dalton Knecht, those guys could fall asleep and score into the double digits. Don't you think in order for the Bears to take that next step, you are going to need to see Theo Hughes just dominating the rebound? I mean, he had his career high with 10 boards. You're going to need to see him do that. Riley Abercrombie come up big for this team. The freshman and Caleb Shaw, Brock Wisney, like the other guys are going to have to do some special things for this team to take it to the next level.
I'm with you. We know pretty much what we have, right, with the backcourt and probably with Dalton Knecht as well. So, yeah, I think the key is going to be the development of the big guys. And again, they don't have to score because the big three on this team will get you your point. And then there's going to be that Caleb Shaw, Riley Abercrombie that's going to, you know, hit for 20 once in a while and have one of those big nights, especially with the three ball. They can both shoot it very well. So, yeah, it's up to the big guys to play defense. I think rebound number one, play defense as a group number two. And if they show improvement like they have already, I mean, Brock Wisney is a better player than he was at the beginning of the year. Theo Hughes is a much better player than he was at the beginning of the season. If those guys continue to develop and show improvement like they have, I think they're going to be that much better, and I think probably a force at the end of the season.
Yeah, I'm excited to see what this team can do, and you know what kind of effort they can show against the Colorado Buffaloes coming up later in the weekend. Jerry, I know you got the coaches show set up tomorrow. Weather might be interesting though, so man, take care of yourself.
I will do that. I know it's supposed to stop snowing in the morning, so hopefully I get up there and see you guys tomorrow night.
All right, my friend Jerry, appreciate you as always. Loved the call over the weekend. No one better, in my opinion, man. So just keep up the great work, and you know, you call on me when you need me. If the Bears are down 30, give me a buzz. I might be laying in bed listening to Jerry Schimmel, but I'll jump on the cell phone. I'll get involved.
It's my SW, my secret weapon.
I'm in 100%, man. You just call on me anytime. All right, man.
All right, Brady.
We'll talk to you soon. Jerry Schimmel, the voice of the UNC Bears. That was an awesome honor for me to do the call with Jerry a little over a week ago, when the Bears beat the Colorado State Rams. And even according to Smiley, it might be one of the bigger wins, certainly in his career, and I was happy to be a part of that. 36 minutes after the hour, let's jump out and get the latest in the local sports flash.
Everybody, this is Dalton Reiser with the Denver Broncos, left guard number 66. You're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Orthopedic and Spine Center, believe it or not, they have a spine specialist, obviously, but also hip and knee, foot and ankle, hand and upper extremity specialist as well. They have you covered literally from head to toe. Check them out at orthohealth.com. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. We'll get more into the Broncos and our poll question coming up, presented by Method Flow Products. But I tell you what, man. This Nuggets team finding ways to win some games. You know, these last two especially were just Jamal Murray shows.
My house city, baby.
Bones is playing. He's
That's
mixing
just
it up.
A sounder.
It's fine. It's
not
all
a reference
good.
To Bones.
It doesn't matter.
When High City, baby.
When you're Bones Highland, creating that brand for yourself just makes you a little bit harder to get rid of.
And hey, we got a triple-double. On Saturday.
Finally. Number 80. My goodness. Number 80. Feels like how many misses did he have this year?
Like three in a row.
Yeah, somebody tweeted at me and said there was like some crazy number of like one away or two aways. That if he just would have had one more assist or one more rebound, would he be in the 90s right now?
31, 12, and 14 for Jokic. That's what we're used to.
That was a game, man. And then Jamal Murray adds in 30. 61 points between those two, plus you're getting the triple-double from the Joker. Yeah. Is Jamal back? Or are we going to get – who do they play on Thursday?
Washington.
Are we going to get suddenly like a 15-point game from Jamal?
Well, we are going up against Will the Thrill Smith.
Ooh.
And – Mr. Monte Morris.
And Barty? Will Barty?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Barty. Is Barty starting for him? I don't know why I'm calling him Barty. I just decided.
We never called him that.
No, I just gave it to him now. Monte Morris was cool, man. I missed him.
Monte Morris is day-to-day.
Are they both starting?
I believe so.
Going up against I honestly have not watched any Washington basketball this year. So I'll be real honest, man. I kind of forgot.
Coming off the bench.
Yeah, that's where he belongs, honestly.
But Monte is starting.
Well, and I said Monte could be a starter. So there you go. But I honestly forgot. I forgot where those two guys went. Even though I know that's how we got KCP and stuff, but I guess I just put those two dudes out of my head. They're not looking so good these last few games. They've been really struggling. They've lost like six in a row, something like that. So I'd like to see Jamal Murray stay consistent here and go off early in that first half.
It's a guy that we haven't mentioned in a while, but are you getting concerned about Michael Porter Jr.?
Yeah, what's the heel thing? Like, we keep saying that this is going to work, and once you get your big three, and anytime you watch them on a national broadcast, they're like, well, if you get that guy in, we haven't seen it enough to know if Porter is going to be a big piece. How do you operate if you're Michael Malone? Do you just, because again, it's not as easy as just saying, well, you know, when he's not here, we don't worry about it. But when he is here, do you make him a focal point, or is he just kind of a shooter that can come in, you get him open shots, whatever, or do you really try to design plays around him? Because if you do, then you've wasted a lot of time if he gets hurt again.
It's frustrating because it, you know, we're starting to figure out our rotations a little bit, especially on that second unit, and you're mixing and matching with your different players, and you throw MPJ back into that mix, you have to re-find it all over again. If he's going to be in the starting five, okay, Bruce Brown, you're going to go back to the bench. What's that lineup look like? We're trying to get Bones more acclimated so he can run the offense a little more. We want to get Christian Brown in there because he's young and we want that experience. So it's weird. Whenever he does come back, I hope he comes back because this is getting frustrating.
It's still
this is the same thing we saw last year. It was, oh, he's hurt. We're going to take
sure
it
when.
Slow. We're going to figure this out. And then he was out all season.
Well, and there's no timetable right now from what I'm reading. There's no timetable.
He's out at shoot-arounds. He's out at pregame shooting around, but that's not nothing.
And that's
official.
Just the heel. That's not even the back, which is what we're all worried about, is the back's not going to hold up. Why did they sign him to this guy? I'm just throwing it out. I like Michael Porter Jr. I'm with you. I'm a big fan of his. That guy can be electric. I think I even did one of my deep thoughts from a Wandering Mind blogs last year or 2 years ago where I said Michael Porter Jr. has the potential to be the second best player on the team, not Jamal Murray. I've said a lot of things still too. I think Jamal still could be like a top player. I think you had a big three, but I just don't know. Now I'm looking back at the contract, and that was Conley who signed that too. In hindsight, that looks like a really silly move. Conley should have never done that.
Well, I just looked it up here. This is from Katie Wingy about 3 minutes ago. Coach Malone said Michael Porter Jr. went through parts of practice today, and it was great to have him on the floor. Nothing was live today, but still a step in the right direction. So there's an update.
There's something positive. McLean said everyone likes to overreact about Porter's injuries. It's not his back. It's a common injury for NBA players to have, so I think he's fine. But it might be his back because it was his back last year. You know that.
Well, he already kind of had a back thing this year.
Yes,
that it was out for like two, three
back
games.
Tightness, right?
And that was precautionary. And I get that with the heel, it's tough because you're jumping, you're landing, you're running, you're cutting on that foot. It can be painful, and I think maybe it's just a matter of his pain threshold.
Maybe, but McLean, how many games has he played in the last 3 years? How many games? You say we're overreacting about the injuries. Dude, he hasn't played. He's played in a handful of games this year.
And we're concerned because there's a lot of money attached
to
him.
You sign him to a 5-year max contract. I mean, that leaves you from signing another player to a max contract. You know, if a Bones Highland and a Christian Brown take off and become monster players and you want to sign them to a big deal, then that's going to hurt. It's kind of like the Russell Wilson deal. You sign him to a long-term deal, and if it doesn't work out, you've spent a lot of time, money, effort, and you've also probably avoided being able to sign another guy in the mix. Now, luckily, you have Gordon locked up, and you have Joker locked up, and you have Jamal locked up. But Michael Porter Jr., if he doesn't work out, that's going to keep you from locking up who the next Big Four addition will be. And maybe that's Bones Highland. Maybe that's a player to be named later. Maybe that's Bruce Brown, who's going to be demanding more money. I don't know what his contract looks like off the top of my head. I want to say he's only got a year deal, maybe two. But if he keeps playing the way he's played so far, that's going to be a player that demands more money. So I don't think we're overreacting about it. He hasn't played that much this year. He played, what, 10 games last year? He played 10 games his whole college career. Yes, there's reason to be very concerned about Michael Porter Jr.'s long-term outlook with the Denver Nuggets.
Bruce Brown is on a 2-year deal.
So next year is when you're going to be wanting to negotiate with him.
Let's just win it this year.
Let's go win it this year.
Then all the money means nothing.
Yeah. Go win a championship, and then you do have the factor that we're worried about with Russell Wilson. You have the everybody wants to play with Nikola Jokic and Jamal Murray factor. Hey, we can go win a title. There's players that might want to come here that maybe take a little bit of a discount if they could be a part of that.
LeBron? No?
I don't.
For 1 year. Oh, let's go.
So no
let's
MPJ?
Go like 6 months with LeBron.
So he takes over KCP's spot?
Take over three spots if he wants to.
Probably.
I'd do that for 6 months.
You think LeBron would want to come to Denver?
I don't know.
He needs to bring his kid.
Bronny?
Too. Yeah. We'd have to draft Bronny.
I think he could, if the potential to win a title was there, greater than the Lakers or Cleveland or anywhere else.
He's just so annoying.
Only have him for a year.
Tell him not to be annoying.
I mean,
tweet it to him.
But I'm in the same room as LeBron James. I'll be sure to mention that.
Hey, can you not do all your other weird stuff and just play basketball?
This Brady guy up in Colorado doesn't like you very much.
And it's not the shut up and dribble thing. It's the
baggage that comes with him.
Yeah, it's not. Listen, I want guys to be their own themselves and do their stuff and go all and do that. But not when I'm like watching the games. You know my take on that. First Advantage text line 888-530-0043. What did you think of Odell Beckham Jr. being like, hey, it's pointless for me to play regular season football. I want to play when the intensity's there the most. That's almost cheating. No, I don't like that mentality.
I'm over him.
Don't say it out loud.
I'm tired of the season long free agency sweepstakes, VIP Odell Beckham sweepstakes.
And now
tired of it.
And now he's flat out saying it. Why would I waste my time playing in the regular season? I want to be there when it's the most intense. Well, everybody would rather have a pass and just get into the playoffs. Why would you be any different?
Do you think Dallas exposed him with the injury? And that kind of,
I think so.
Put a black mark on him for the rest of the league? Say, hey, don't go after this guy. He's actually not healthy.
Yeah. No, I agree. I think maybe we stay away from him. Dixon says, no way you want LeBron, because if they did win it, it would be all about LeBron and it wouldn't be as satisfying. One-year rental type stuff sucks. No LeBron.
Just an idea.
Well, what if you win it this year, and then you win it again, like the Warriors did? They went out and got Durant. Would it feel as sweet there? Let's just get Michael Porter Jr. back and have him work out, okay? 12:51 the time. We'll take a quick break. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. The Method Flow Products poll question of the day. Did yesterday's game against Kansas City change your mind a little bit? Do you think Nathaniel Hackett should be given another year? Go vote at the whole show. com. We'll read more text on the other side. It's Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Sunday and Monday Night Football are on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hi, this is Jesse Kurtz, executive producer and lead anchor of the Mountain West Network. And you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Holidays, Christmas, New Year's, right around the corner. Be sure you check with our friends at On the Rocks Liquor to stock up. Whether you're having the big celebration at your place or gearing up for it or whatever, that's On the Rocks Liquor, man. They do a wonderful job bringing us our game beer of the week, having free wine and beer tastings every week. The best liquor store around. I mean, they do it the right way, constantly bringing in craft beverages and unique beverages from local places, statewide, and beyond. On the Rocks Liquor, make your next celebration on the rocks. Love when these political texts come in. If LeBron, spelled LeBron incorrectly, that's fine. If LeBron comes to Denver, I'm not watching the Nuggets anymore. That hypocrite is bought and paid for by China.
I think there's plenty of people in Denver that are already not watching the Nuggets because of TV issues.
Yeah, that's true. It's probably the same person. Doesn't have altitude. I'm not watching. It's like the people when the NFL players were kneeling and stuff. I'm never watching again. And then, like a year later, they're talking about the big game. It's whatever.
It was just the thought. I'm not getting berated for LeBron to Denver. It's just a thought. Let's win a title first.
Let's go win it.
Go get whoever we want.
Let's go win it this year. You got to have Robin, though, to Joker's Joker.
We need the whole
Batman.
No
more Batman. Yes, you need, because Joker's Joker. So who's Batman? Joker's the one that wins, though. In this alternative universe, it's what they do in comic books. Joker's the awesome one. Who can be Batman? Who's going to be Robin? Jamal's got to be in. Or he's got to be consistent. I want to start seeing it now. I want to see him rattle off like 5-6 games in a row where it's like 25, 27, 30, 28. That's what I want to see. All right, we'll get to the final hour coming up next. More on Nathaniel Hackett. Is he here to stay? We'll talk about it next.